Three skeletons sat in the wag jutting out from the building. Tattered bits of clothing remained stuck to the yellowed bone. The skeleton behind the wheel had no head, while the one in the passenger seat had a mouthful of broken teeth and a collapsed lower face. The third skeleton sat in a child's safety seat at a crooked angle. Ryan didn't let himself dwell on the scene. Too many of them existed across Deathlands. He stared at the building across the street. A sun-faded orange sign sticking up from the debris read, Kidwell's Corner Cafe. Ice, beer, magazines.
Jack.
Jack stepped out from hiding, a .357 Magnum Colt Python in his hand.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Christy?
Hurting. You ready? Find it, chill it, then move on.
Ryan started forward, aiming in the direction of the screams. Jack moved into position behind him. The teenager had the stark white coloration of a true albino, and the snow-white hair to match. His eyes gleamed like fiery red rubies in the hollows of his scarred face. Iridescent patches of gray and brown clung to his camo-style clothing, and the sharp bits of metal carefully sewn into the material didn't show at all. Shifting shapes skittered across and through the debris filling the street. Ryan recognized them as rats, and they were some of the biggest he had ever seen. Nearly 18 inches tall at the shoulder, they looked like small dogs and hunted in packs like wolves. Coarse brown hair covered their rangy bodies. Their tails trailed behind them, hairless and as thick as Ryan's first two fingers held together. Their behavior patterns drew his instant attention because they didn't act afraid of him at all, and he was drawing their full attention. Jack moved to Ryan's side a little more than an arm's length away, far enough away they wouldn't get tangled with each other when they moved, but close enough they could move together if they needed to. Jack fisted some of his leaf-bladed throwing knives. Ryan reached to his right hip and loosened the thong holding the Sig Sauer P226 in the holster. He took up the razor-edged Panga in his left hand, fingers curled loosely around the haft. The blade was an 18-inch extension of himself, and he knew it intimately.
Fucker's probably rabid.
If they decide to attack, man might not live long enough to find out.
Maybe chill a couple, let them eat each other.
No.
Ryan was determined to give the rats a wide berth. He crossed the street, staying away from the main body of the pack. After the new cost, Mother Nature's hand was no longer solely responsible for the grand designs of all creatures great and small, especially in the rat-blasted areas. Muty blood showed up, changing things forever. Sometimes the Radburn had created a wholly new creature with no ties to whatever had originally sired it. The rats paused, throwing their broad, warty snouts into the breeze.
Smell it?
Yeah. Death.
Ryan stayed close to the crumbled remains. He kept the Panga ready in his hand while he followed the barrel of the Steyr forward. With his trained eye, Ryan saw past the ruined facade of the building. Paths had been cleared through the rubble, a sure indication of some kind of habitation.
Looks heavily traveled. It means either predators gather here to attack those weaker than themselves, or someone's gone into business managing supply and demand.
Ryan followed the trail up the steep incline in front of him. He glanced at Jack, watching the youth step into the shadows under some of the broken rock. Jack disappeared within three steps. Wrapping the Steyr sling around his forearm to better balance the weapon, Ryan crested the hill. Peering over the edge, Ryan studied the scene unfolding before him. Over the top of the hill, the land fell away and pooled in a bowl-shaped depression rimmed by stacks of junked cars and the shattered remains of a few warehouses and garages. A rusted fence topped with barbed wire encircled most of the lot. Over the broken remnants of two wire gates, a listing sign with faded paint proclaimed, Samuelson's Wrecking Yard. Nearly two dozen armed men, dressed in mismatched clothing and animal skins, stood in a loose circle in front of the junkyard, around a captive handful of men, women, and one child. Three corpses lay stretched out on the barren ground. Two of the dead were women, stripped naked and showing signs of dying hard. From his position, Ryan could smell the death lingering on the fresh corpses. Another shallow breath brought a different scent to his nose, this one totally animal, ripened with a pungent sourness. He scanned the terrain again, more deliberately this time, and spotted the first of the dogs hunkered down in the spaces between the rusting cars and cracked debris given up by the buildings. For a moment, Ryan thought the pack of dogs was waiting its chance at the corpses. Urban predators learn to be patient. A wild pack marauding the countryside and coming up on a vill would have a harder time bringing down any of the citizens living within the vill's protection. But tumble-down cities like Idaho Falls gave up their dead as a matter of course. The natural predators living within the bowels of the ruins served the purpose of keeping disease to a minimum by disposing of the decaying flesh. One of the men stepped toward the captives. He stood tall and rangy, leaned out to muscle over bone. His cheeks showed great hollows as they sunk in tight against his skull. He wore his black hair pulled back in a long ponytail, which was threaded with finger bones yellow with age. A spotty beard covered most of his lower face under his deep-set eyes. He wore a scuffed and torn leather jacket with a brightly colored patch across its back that Ryan couldn't quite make out.
This here is Slagger territory. Man crossing through here better pay up some tribute if he expects to make it across.
We didn't know. We're new here. Nobody told us.
Ignorance of the law ain't no excuse. A lot of road brothers paid the price before Skydark. Got no mercy in my heart for you piss-poor fuckers come through here unprepared.
One of the men in the captive group stepped forward, shifting his weight. He was stoop-shouldered, but carried a lot of weight in his chest, showing he was accustomed to manual labor. Bruises and drying blood covered his face.
You already chilled two of us. How many more you reckon on chilling?
All of you, if I've a mind to.
The stoop-shouldered man leapt at the Slagger member nearest him.
Hey, goddammit!
The Slagger struggled to bring around the chopped-down shotgun he carried. He was young, barely into his teens, and scrawny. One of the women in the captive group started forward.
Crane! No!
Wrong move, bitch!
The Slagger leader butt-struck her in the stomach with his weapon. The woman dropped to her knees, clutching her belly. The Slagger butt-struck her again in the head. Ryan watched without making a move. The male captive, Crane, backhanded the young Slagger in the face. Blood spewed from the teen's broken nose and covered his face as he staggered back. Crane came up with a shotgun. Moving with an economy of motion, he lifted the scatter gun and pointed it at the Slagger leader. A grin painted the Slagger leader's thin-lipped mouth as he reached for the pistol holstered on his hip. It came free in an eye blink, the Colt Heart's left hand wrapping instinctively around the cut-down barrel. His right hand dropped to the big lever action under the breech. Ryan knew instantly that it wasn't a pistol at all. The weapon was a lever-action rifle that had the barrel and stock cut off, reducing it to something less than 2 feet long. Crane got off one round. The pellets missed the Slagger leader by an arm's length, slammed through the oxidized metal of a rusting wag, and unleashed a rust-red metallic fog that coiled over their intended target.
Missed, asshole.
The Slagger leader's bullets blew through Crane's chest.
Fucker had it coming. Nobody draws down on me and live.
Their leader, Halleck, fed bullets into the rifle's side breech and grinned at his men. The beaten woman lay on the ground, holding both hands over her face. The young Slagger recovered his weapon, then quickly turned it